Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
That is just a fact of life.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history, Pedro Fernandez.
Woo, it's going to be good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums on the radio. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm your ever so modest host. I'm also an award-winning boxing writer and a four-time Golden Glove champion. So supposedly I know a little bit about boxing. But I've always found out the average fan has got a different insight to the fight game because they don't look at it the way I do. So I will give you an opportunity here with a toll-free phone line. You can give us a call if you'd like. 1-800-878-7510. That's 1-800-878-PLAY. Straight up the guilt-free, no-commitment text line here in the studio. Of course, that number is 415-275-1613. You want to text us here in the studio and not go on the air? 415-275-1613. Well, last night, we watched the stock value drop of boxing's heir apparent to greatness, Shakur Stevens, of course, still unbeaten. But, you know, the way he went the 12 rounds, what can I tell you? The TV announcers kept criticizing him time and time and time again, saying he should go for it, he should go for it, he should go for it. He never went for it. He was worried about a little puff under his eye, a little tiny swelling under his eye. What am I trying to tell you? He might not be what we thought he was. As far as power is concerned, he had none at 130 pounds. He could pop a little bit at 126, but at 130, he was punching with pillows. What am I trying to tell you? Oscar Valdez will probably have him for lunch. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, open phone lines all around the planet. If you dare, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. Once again, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check out the WBC website at WBCBoxing.com.
Things like this happen. The best man won tonight, but my coat, my side, threw in the towel. And, you know, I'm ready to go out on my shield, man. You know what I'm saying? I had a lot of things going on coming into this fight, but it is what it is. You know, my leg was already re-coming in due to other little things. But, you know, I make no excuses tonight. I just wish that my corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
Go out on your shield. You did go out on your shield. You got your, you know what, kick handed to you. No doubt about that. There said, July 24th, of course, Deontay Wilder, the 2008 Olympic bronze medalist from Mobile, Alabama, the boxing hotbed that is Mobile, Alabama, of course, went undefeated, fought like 25, 30 guys like myself, hobos. And, of course, when he stepped up to the major leagues and fought Tyson Fury, a guy that was bigger than him. Imagine this. You're 6'7" and you're black. Okay, you've never had anybody bigger than you to fight, never. So you've been beating up on everybody in your entire life that's been smaller than you. And then some guy comes along, and he's about 2 inches bigger than you, and guess what? He's not afraid. I mean, he's not afraid even slightly. I'm talking about Tyson Fury. Of course, Tyson Fury won, what, had 19 rounds together, and Tyson Fury lost two rounds. Two rounds officially. He got knocked down in two rounds. Outside of that, he didn't lose much of that fight. So, except for like maybe 18 or 20 seconds, we'll say 20 seconds, say 10 seconds each time, okay? Give him 10 seconds each time. Outside of that, what did he lose? He didn't lose much. As far as Wilder going out on his shield, he probably couldn't have went out much more on his shield than he did, except flat on his back and maybe unconscious. What I'm trying to tell you is at the end of the day, these guys are going to hook it up a third time, July 24th, and this will be at the T-Mobile Arena. I thought it was going to be the home of the new Oakland Raiders or the Las Vegas Raiders of the NFL, but it's not. It's going to be in the T-Mobile Arena. Of course, good arena, no doubt about that, but Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, do we really want to see that again? Question mark. You let me know. Hit me up on the text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, Shakur didn't shake. Unwilling to gamble and no power at 130 pounds, He never threw the third or fourth punch. I'm talking about Shakur Stevens, of course. The guy that he fought, an awkward guy, no doubt about it. I mean, really awkward, and he could punch a little bit with the right hand. But Jeremiah Nakathilia was not something I would be in fear of if I was a top five fighter in the world as far as pound for pound is concerned. So what I'm trying to tell you is I think that Shakur Stevens was vastly overrated going in. Anyway, what could be better for an accomplished boxer than to have a guy come at him, straight at him the entire time and only have one weapon? I'm talking about the right hand. That's what Shakur Stevenson was looking at last night, and he was afraid to throw the third and the fourth punch. And Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray Leonard and I were sitting in a hot tub, in his private hot tub, in West Palm Beach, Florida. I guess it was 1989. Yeah, it was May of 1989 as he was prepping for Tommy Hearns. And we were talking, and I said, you know, Ray, what's the difference between a good fighter and a great fighter? And he thought about it for a second. He said, the willingness to gamble. Well, guess what? Last night, Shakur Stevenson didn't gamble. And the Wall Street Report is his stock value dropped. Now we take it to the boxing world and bring in, of course, trainer extraordinaire. I'm talking about Mr. Eddie Croft. Prime time, Eddie Croft, prime time. Can you break down Shakur Stevenson's performance for us?
Absolutely. You know what? I thought he looked very sharp, and like skill-wise, the guy is just, he's impeccable. But yes, he is a little adverse to risk. He definitely could have got the guy out of there and could have made Nakathilia quit if he would have stepped on the gas a little bit. And he admitted himself at that, you know, in a little interview after the fight, said, hey, you know what? I tried, and I got hit a couple times and I didn't really like it. So I, you know, kind of backed off and boxed and fought smart. And was it smart? And did he have any, was he in any trouble at any point? No. What, did he stink out the joint? Yes. Unfortunately, that is the case. Now, I do feel like, I'm in a little bit of a disagreement with you. I do feel like if someone, you know what, his punching power isn't the best, but if someone, you know, forced the issue and forced him to throw that third, fourth, and fifth punch, I think that he has the ability to do it. I definitely think that he would and is going to rise to the occasion if that opportunity ever comes up. So hopefully he gets to fight, you know, after he fights Herring, he fights Valdez. And I think Valdez will force the issue enough to really bring out what Shakur is made of.
But to throw those third, fourth, and fifth combination, you've got to have confidence in yourself, and you've got to have an incredible amount of intestinal fortitude, because that is when you're vulnerable, when you're in motion, no doubt about it, okay? So Shakur doesn't seem to be one of those guys that wants to put himself in any jeopardy, and if that's the case, you know, he's not going to rise to the superstar. Maybe he will. I mean, the people bought Floyd Mayweather. I didn't think they would buy Floyd Mayweather. And look, I'm wrong. They bought Floyd Mayweather last week in an $80 million exhibition. At 50 years old.
Well, you know, that's one. And, you know, the whole thing with Mayweather, too, there's an event and there's other things surrounding it. It's not just the boxing. That's, you know, Mayweather had the ability to turn the fight into, you know, like the secondary thing. You know, it's more the event was, it's the Mayweather event. That was the bigger issue. So, you know, does Shakur Stevenson have that type of ability, or, you know, magnetic personality, or even, you know, polarizing personality? I mean, does he have that? I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. But let's go back to the boxing. Here's the thing, Pedro, you're saying that he's adverse to risk and he won't, you know, rise to the occasion, or he won't throw that third, fourth, and fifth punch. The thing is, these guys can't force him to do it right now, right? A guy like Oscar Valdez, he's not going to be able to win. I'm talking about Stevenson. He won't be able to win the fight if he doesn't throw that third, fourth, and fifth punch, right? He's going to either lose the fight or he's going to throw that punch. And I think he'll throw the punch, and I think he'll win those fights.
Fantastic. Eddie Croft, primetime Eddie Croft, B Street Boxing, San Mateo, California. You got time to stick around for one more segment?
Yeah, no problem.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Going to make for a long one, the next one. So we've got open phone lines around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. The mighty horns of the Tower of Power. Yes, this time it's real. Live on Sports Byline.
It's a gentle sway, and I knew right from the start. She was the one who could calm my heart. I know someday that we could happen in a special way. I wish I may.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
He's a guy I have nothing but respect. And, you know, we said we weren't friends after the once we signed, and that was true. After the fight, you know, I want to go see him. I wish him the best. He can be the champ at 130 pounds. I think he struggled a lot to make plays, so I got nothing bad to say about him. He's a true champ. I wish him the best.
Oscar, you dominated from the first second till that knockout. What was going through your mind, round one, round two, round four, round five?
Stay focused always. He came in with a good body shot. I thought it was I said, wow, he is hard. Every time I would hit his face, he had a strong, I felt like I was hitting a rock. We got the thing done. I listened to my father, listened to my corner, Betty Reynoso, and we got it done.
Frank, you've known him from day one, from the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
You remember you called me and you said, hey.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. You were there. You went
and now, what do you say about him shocking the world tonight? Biggest upset since Mike Tyson and
Come on, man.
Oscar, after the win, you went like, shh. What did you mean by that? For those who don't know,
I mean, people doubted me. People said that I wasn't gonna. Boxing analysis, boxing experts, my idol said it. They all said I was gonna get knocked out. And I stayed calm. I said, okay, I'm gonna prove everybody wrong. There's nothing better in life than proving people wrong. And don't let nobody tell that to people. Don't let nobody tell you you can't do something. Because if you start listening to it, you might start believing in it. Always believe in yourself. Train hard. Be disciplined in life. And anything's possible. Call it out. Let the universe and ask God for whatever you want. And everything's going to be accomplished.
29 and zip, 23 KOs. Of course, that was a performance, an appearance by Oscar Valdez, the current world 130-pound champion. WBC belt as well. Coming to us about 2 months, of course. Oscar's got a fight coming up. Will it be with Shakur Stevenson? Probably not his next fight, but 130 pounds is rocking right now with Stevenson and Oscar Valdez. Now, on the line from the B Street Boxing headquarters in San Mateo, California. In fact, you can check them out. BStreetBoxing.com, right, Eddie?
That is correct.
Okay. Of course, I'm talking about primetime Eddie Crawford. We are gifted to have him as our boxing analyst for this segment of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Next week, things sort of lighten up on the 19th. Of course, Teofimo Lopez, the world lightweight champion in action, taking on George Kambosos. Let's go through the fights. First of all, let's go through that. Julio Cesar Chavez and Hector Camacho Jr. Let's talk about exhibitions and older guys. You're an older guy. Would you do exhibitions?
No.
Okay. Why?
No.
Why?
One, because I'm not, you know, I'm not as famous as those other guys, so I'd probably get paid like $20 for it, and it's not worth it for me to do that.
Okay. What else? Outside of
that. I absolutely, am in favor of them going out and, man, you know, these guys can't fight anymore, so they, you know, they do these little exhibitions, and I mean, it's still fairly dangerous. They're not wearing 16-ounce gloves, but and they're not wearing headgear half the time. There's some element of danger in it, but still, it's relatively safe, man, and, you know, they're going to make a little money that, you know, that they're not making right now. So I feel, you know, hey, man, go ahead.
Okay.
What do you think?
The world lightweight champion is undefeated, of course, come to us out of New York City, Brooklyn, New York. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez. You got to give him some props, no doubt about that, taking out Vasyl Lomachenko last time. And quite an upset, a 5-1 upset in some people's minds. Bottom line is, Lopez has taken on George Kambosos, an undefeated lad from Australia. Eddie, break that down. Is this a work fight for the champ, or is this a real fight?
I mean, look, Kambosos is a solid, solid guy. You know, I think the what was the fight with? I think it was Selby. I think it was fight. I mean, that fight was close, and you know, the announcers, you know, made it sound like, you know, Kambosos was getting just washed up, and then he ended up winning the fight, and it was, you know, a big surprise on TV. But you know, people watching the fight, you know, knew that Kambosos probably had a little bit of an edge on that.
A little.
And do I think? Well, I didn't, you know, like, I mean, if you want to fight, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I'm just saying it wasn't what they announced. The fight, you know, everybody at home was probably saying, what fight are you guys watching, you know? But,
was that a classic, lady, hate to interrupt you, but was that a classic example of English shilling?
You know what, you would have to, like, I guess so. you know what I mean? It's really difficult, for just the person that has never, sparred or, you know, like, you know, it really don't have any boxing background to really kind of piece together what is happening. If they're listening to the announcer, like, the announcers can really, really bias your view if you don't know what you're looking at.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Also on the 19th, WBC middleweight champion Jermell Charlo is taking on another challenger, Juan Macias Montiel. Of course, both these guys got pretty good records. I'm not a big fan of the Charlo brothers. I'm a fan of their mother. I think their mother's quite a character. I think she could be like Louise Fletcher or whoever Frank Fletcher's mother was. I mean, she was pretty wild ringside, colorful ringside. But the Charlo brothers seem to be, they're staying in the same spot. They don't seem to be wanting to attain greatness. They seem to be wanting to be okay, and that's enough for them. Am I pushing them too far? Am I wrong? Talk to me.
You know what? Like, the boxing politics and, you know, the landscape of that is so odd these days. You know what? I don't really know what to think. I see them improving, and they get better with each fight. You hear conflicting, like, things from them. Yeah, I want to fight Canelo. You know what? The Canelo fight will come, you know, when they, you know, yeah, I don't, or they'll say, yeah, we're going to fight Canelo. I'll knock Canelo out. Or they turn around and say, I don't need Canelo for my legacy and this and that, right? So, like, you hear a lot of conflicting stuff. But I can't say that they're not, you know, I wouldn't say that they're not, like, shooting for greatness. I think that they have the, you know, really the potential for some very compelling fights in the not too distant future in the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Deontay Wilder is going to rock again with Tyson Fury the third time. Of course, he's going to go at the T-Mobile Arena in July in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yep.
I mean, outside of the one punch knock, outside of being a one trick pony, what can Deontay Wilder, I mean, there are so many. What could you do to improve Deontay Wilder? What could Eddie Croft, the trainer, do to improve Deontay Wilder?
Well, you know what? Like, the biggest thing is just, for me, I would just make him throw just straight punches and concentrate on footwork and distance. And that's it. So just, you know, because that, you can't really change him. In the amount of time that you got, and you know, you just got to improve on what he has, right? And then, like, slowly after he gets, if he wins the Tyson Fury fight, or even after he loses, if he continues to fight, you know, then you can start, you know, trying to tinker with this stuff, you know. But, like, right now, the fight's July 24th, man. You ain't got time to change that, nothing. Unless he's been working for the past year on changing stuff. You know, I don't know. You know,
Eddie, the guy doesn't like to do, he doesn't like to do bag. Mark Breland told me he doesn't like to do bag work. He's not a big guy on jumper rope. In other words, he's in there going to the street fighting thing. I mean, just going in there and trying to throw that right hand.
Yeah, well, you know, that was before, and now that he's lost, it looks like he's, you know, they show little clips on social media that he's, you know, working on footwork and punching technique, and who knows, but, like, I'm really interested to see it, because, look, you've been watching boxing a long time, Pedro, and so have I, but I have not seen somebody with a singular weapon like that in a long, long time.
Good point. Good, hell of a point.
Right? So you know, that at any moment, if it lands, it could end it. So, like, you know, he's always dangerous no matter what. And so the thing is, like I was saying, the only thing you can do, you know, in the short amount of time you have is to get him to understand distance and, you know, kind of move and try to maintain that distance and when to fire that right hand, right? And when he throws it, just to throw it straight. Stop all that looping stuff. You don't need that.
Okay.
Right? Just throw it straight. And you know, you might be able to, because, like, the body mechanics are similar. It's just the arm angle is different. You might be able to teach him how to throw, like, a nice short uppercut with the right hand. Because, you know, like, you can sneak that in. You get the guy looking for the right hand, you know, straight coming at you, and then all of a sudden with the same mechanics, you sneak it underneath, and it comes under and hits you from, you know, from underneath on the chin. Okay. And, if he could learn that, yeah, dude, he could just end Tyson in with one punch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is definitely an intriguing fight.
It's a big if, and I think he's an old dog that doesn't want to learn new tricks. Now, next week, Naoya Inoue, Japan star, of course, 20 and zip, 17 KOs, had a broken orbital bone a few fights back with Nonito Donaire, of course, who shined last week at 118, winning the WBC title. Anyway, this guy is a monster. That's what they call him, the monster. Can this guy, Miguel Desamarinas, who's 30-2, is he a formidable challenger? I mean, can anybody really challenge this guy? Is he that superior at that weight class?
You know what? 118 is probably not Inoue's best weight class. I think 115 was better for him. You know, like if you looked at the fight with Donaire, I mean, Donaire, you know, hurt him. And, yes, he broke his orbital bone. Now, if that was Donaire 10 years ago, I think Donaire beats him, right? And look at what he did the other night, or last week, man. That is incredible. That, you know, that dude is a legend, you know, and you know, for Inoue to, you know, be able to get through that and win the fight, yeah, I mean, the guy is awesome. Now, it's Desmarinas. The one thing about Filipino fighters is, you know, that they're tough and they're going to take, you know, they're coming, you know. They're, a lot of times they're kind of challenged defensively, because their game is really based on power. So, you know, I think that Inoue kind of will be able to pick him apart and stop him, like, midway through the fight, you know, kind of hit him with a laser right hand and end it. So
this is the genius behind B Street Boxing, folks. Whether you're a square, I'm talking about a blue collar or white collar boxing, or you're a accomplished professional or an amateur, check out B Street Boxing, Eddie Croft in San Mateo, California. Eddie, say hello to the family. I love you. Thank you so much for your time, man.
All right, baby. Talk to you.
The one, Primetime Eddie Croft on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Everyone said, I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe don't know the tenth of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
I thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
The smooth sounds of the mighty Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. Of course, rock and roll and the godfathers of East Bay Soul since 1968. Emilio Castillo and company. No doubt about that. They stand alone when it comes to horns and R&B. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Some text coming in here, of course, on Shakur Stevenson's performance last night. Shakur was masterful. Why are you dogging him? Because I expect a little bit more of a masterful guy, of a guy who's pound for pound like one of the top five guys, the top seven guys in the world, maybe even one of the top 15 fighters in the world. He should look like one of the top 15 fighters in the world. I mean, he didn't look like, you know, he looked like a guy last night who was really, really, really careful. And I don't like careful fighters. If you want careful boxers, go look at the sport of golf. That's sort of careful the way they strategize golf. You don't want fighters like strategizing things like that, because if Shakur Stevenson were to go on and win a championship at 130 pounds, he couldn't do that with Oscar Valdez. I mean, Oscar would make him work for it. There's no doubt about it. Of course, Valdez, the current WBC and world 130-pound champion, undefeated 29-0, 23 KOs, coming to us from Mexico. We're going to try to get him on the show next week maybe, or the week after, because we've got an old show with him like a month ago, a couple of months back, but we're trying to get something fresh because he is rocking and rolling. I'm going, he is the guy. There's no doubt about it. He's affluent. What I mean is he ain't broke. You know, his family's got a few bucks. Not living in soup kitchens, didn't have to come up the hard way like Julio Cesar Chavez. Of course, Chavez living in a railroad car in Tijuana. He lived in a railroad car. Imagine this, you know, down at the tracks where they got a railroad car? That was his house, him living in a railroad car. I kid you not. That's how hard it was for Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., okay? Of course, him coming back now, going to take on Hector Camacho Jr., Lookout Jr. Next week, of course, that's going to be some type of pay-per-view on the 19th, some type of pay-per-view as well. But Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., you had Julio Cesar Chavez the Jr., not the senior, because they're not the same. Jr. lived in a mansion. You know what I'm saying? Jr. lived in the suburbs. He lived in a mansion. I mean, you live in a railroad car and you have to fight for that, you know, for a living in this now, or you live in a mansion, you have to fight for a living. Big difference. The hunger wasn't there. That's why the kid never made it. Of course, the kid now is clamoring for a second fight with Canelo Alvarez. Good luck on that one. Speaking of Canelo Alvarez, Oscar De La Hoya in the news this week, looking pretty good for, I think he's 48 years old or something like that. He looks born in 1973. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Oscar looks good. The 1992 Olympic gold medals. Of course, I was his publicist when he was with the Dame Boxing Club. It's D-A-M-E apostrophe. Yeah, D-A-M-E apostrophe. That was the Dame Boxing Club. It was run by Carl Dame. He was from San Ramon, California, this affluent area across the bay from San Francisco. Get this. He owned more homes in San Ramon than anybody ever. And San Ramon had like maybe 30,000 people in it. So he owns all these homes here where I'm coming from. And then the real estate market went bust. He had his own private jet. He used to fly me to the fights. Get this. He would fly me to the fights from, where was it? I think Vallejo. I forget where his airport was. Vallejo, not Vallejo, but maybe Richmond or Oakland or something like that. So we get in this, I get in his plane and it would just be me. And I fly this private jet down to Southern California to watch a night of fights at the Forum. I was his PR guy and that's what he did. I mean, that's the way. When Dame was in the money, Dame was rolling. We all got somewhat sort of fat on Carl Dame there when things were rocking and rolling. Of course, when he was using boxing as a tax write-off, once he had to start paying for boxing, I guess when the real estate market went south, things went a little south and he got a little nasty. But at the end of the day, that was quite an adventure for a lot of us. And De La Hoya, that was his first publicist. I used to call the Oscar De La Hoya house, of course, and this was when he was in East L.A. This was what it was like when he was living in affluent Montebello or anything like that. He was living like, you know, he was, yeah, anyway. Bottom line is, Oscar's mother, I think her name was Cecilia. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure, though, it was Cecilia. She would answer the phone, and I would say, in my broken down Spanish. My Spanish was terrible. It still is. Anyway, is Oscar there? And she would say, Oscar, teléfono. And that was his mom, and he would come on the air, and golly gee whiz type of kid and this. And I don't think he even had a girl at that point in time. And God knows he's had a few since then. But at that point in time, he was so innocent and so talented that when he got in the gym, I mean, he fought guys like John Montes, and sparred guys like John Montes in the gym. Montes was a world-ranked 140-pounder. I think he got knocked out in the blink of an eye by by Hector Camacho was a bit of a freak. I think that was in Anchorage, Alaska, if I remember right. But anyway, Montez could rock. He could roll. There's no doubt about it. And Oscar was killing him in the gym. I mean, he was laying out beatings in the Dame gym down there in L.A. that I would like go like this. And I would turn my face away because he would throw. He was a comment to me. Oscar, as an amateur, when he was fighting in 1991, 1990, of course, in the gym, he reminded me of a combination of Roberto Duran and Alexis Arguello. The Alexis Arguello being the tall, lanky guy, the Roberto Duran guy being just a savage. I mean, he was a savage. No, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And, of course, I predicted he would win the gold medal and then go on to be world champion and things like that. But I never thought that he would become the iconic figure that he was in the world of drag. Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about being a drag, I'm talking about dressing in drag. I mean, the toughest guy in the world wears women's panties. That's a little tough to comprehend for a guy like me. I'm not trying to say I can't stuff. I mean, think about that. I mean, Oscar was the baddest dude pound for pound in the entire world. And then you see him wearing Victoria's Secret outfits and, you know, makeup and all that kind of good stuff and had his eyebrows pulled. And I get my eyebrows pulled, too, but not that way. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check in. Let's get back to your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, Alexander Povetkin. One-time title holder, of course, now 36-3, a one draw, 40 years old, 41 years old, 25 KOs. He's calling it a day. Of course, he lost that last fight to Dillian White, got TKO'd in the fourth round. Of course, the fight before, he knocked out Dillian White in the blink of an eye. Take that back, it was in the fifth round. He had been down in the fourth round, I believe. And Povetkin came back, he won that fight, but the second fight, he just couldn't put it together. I think it was the guy that was affected by that COVID. Of course, he had COVID, and then like 6 weeks later, he's fighting. And he looked like the guy that was fighting with COVID. I mean, he couldn't let go. Didn't look like he was breathing properly. I mean, it was just like a bad fight for him. It was one of these fights where he wasn't supposed to win the first one. You see, he was the opponent. So the promotion, the boxing establishment, they put this fight together, this Dillian White rematch together with Povetkin. They said, is he training hard? Well, he's got COVID, but he'll be okay. Oh, okay, don't worry about it. He'll be okay. Just make sure he tests negative when he comes in the ring. Outside of that, we aren't concerned with anything else. And they weren't. Eddie Hearn and those guys wanted to build up Dillian White. Why they want to build up Dillian White is beyond me. I mean, I think he's like 28-3 now. This has never, ever, ever overly impressed me. I mean, there were a couple of fights where I said, oh, he can fight a little bit, or he can punch a little bit. But as far as being overall, like when he's pound-for-pound guys, the heavyweight guy, pound-for-pound heavyweight, I don't see it in Dillian White. Anyway, Alexander Povetkin calling a career. More power to him because the guy was a bad dude. I mean, knock him for losing to losing as meekly as he did in that rematch to Dillian White. But I'm telling you, that had a lot to do with it. Had a lot to, I think, with COVID. No doubt about that. Now, Shakur Stevenson getting some more attacks on Shakur. No, forget Shakur for a minute. Clarissa Shields. Who is she? Pound for pound, they say. Excuse me as I sip my coffee. For the radio listeners and for the TV viewers. The guy's drinking coffee. Anyway, Clarissa Shields, pound for pound by in the minds of many. The women's pound-for-pound king, queen, whatever you want to call it, queen, best fighter in the world. Okay. Anyway, she won an MMA fight the other night in like less than the blink of an eye. More power to her. She's like, take that back. She got in trouble in the first round. She didn't win in the blink of an eye. Amanda Serrano won in the blink of an eye. But she got in trouble in the first round, and Clarissa Shields sort of overcame adversity. And, you know, I've been knocking her as a big mouth and somebody that really isn't bringing it and the kind of stuff. I think that, you know, she doesn't have a whole lot of punching power. And I like girls that can pop just a little bit with their punches, okay? That's why women should probably wear lighter gloves. We can go into that. That's another subject for another day. But as far as pound-for-pound women are concerned, there's a whole bunch on the list. There are four or five on the list. Amanda Serrano, the aforementioned Puerto Rican star, of course, Puerto Rican-American, but she's rocked and rolled. She won in less than a minute in some MMA fight where she was fighting a girl that was an MMA debutante, of course, having no experience. Just like Amanda Serrano, she stopped her in 60 seconds, I believe. But she's 32 years old, 40 wins, one loss, and one draw as a professional. Of course, the southpaw comes out of Brooklyn, New York. Amanda Serrano, man, she's a real deal. Now, Sonessa Sastrada, I'm so high on her, it's unbelievable. I say her name, and I go, I start floating. Of course, she's a minimum weight fighter, which sort of hurts things because she fights at 105 pounds, but she's 28 years old. She's 20 and zip. She's Oscar De La Hoya's fighter. She comes from East L.A., and she is the future of women's boxing, I think, without a doubt. Daphne Pearson, not too hot on that. Good record, a good long record, but I'm not too high on it. Katie
Taylor. I'm big on Katie Taylor. What is she now? 18 is it? Katie's a real deal. Katie can fight. I mean, Katie comes with us from the UK. And then, of course, Jessica McCaskill, another chick. She's a stockbroker, comes to us out of Chicago. She beat Celia Breakers not once, but twice. And the second time, she beat the brakes off Celia Breakers. It wasn't controversial. The first time, they were saying, Breakers and the team was saying, that fight could have went either. The fight couldn't have went either way. The fight went to the person that won the fight. McCaskill won the fight the first time. She just simply outworked you, out-hustled you. You were like, whoa. You were like, so what's going on here? Yeah, see what happens when you get old? Even women get old. Cecilia Breakers got old overnight. Well, maybe not old overnight, but the bottom line is she got old. She paid the price when she lost that fight to McCaskill, not the first fight and the second fight. The second fight was more dominant than the first one. As far as the rest of the females are concerned, nothing really jumps out at me, but these names, Amanda Serrano, Cianessa Estrada, Katie Taylor, Carissa Shields, Jessica McCaskill, and Cecilia Breakers. Now, of course, I said, how old is she now? 31 years old? You got to be kidding. Let me look at that again. Cecilia Breakers. No, 39 years old. Yeah, her days are way. I mean, she was fortunate. She didn't run into somebody like Christy Martin. Of course, Christy Martin, the coal miner's daughter. That's what they called her, the coal miner's kid. And she was the coal miner. I think it was the coal miner's daughter. Anyway, the bottom line is she ruled women's boxing at a point in time where there was no women's boxing. Of course, she was a star. She would have be the featured bout, the second main event, the supporting act for Mike Tyson, Julio Cesar Chavez, and all those kind of people. Anyway, she turned, she turned 53 yesterday, but she had her birthday yesterday. We wish Christy Martin Salters the very best of birthdays. May yesterday, today, and tomorrow, may they all be birthday-like. Of course, she is the baddest woman in the history of boxing. And why do I say that? Roll it, Cotty. Guess what? She got shot, and she got stabbed by her ex-husband, and she lived. What can you say about that? There's no badder woman on the planet. She got shot, and she got stabbed, and she lived. Christy Martin. Happy birthday, princess. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
New Tower of Power, that's right, brand new Tower of Power. Check it out on the Soul side of town, Emilio Castillo and Group, of course, at towerofpower.com. Colin Seymour, former columnist for the San Jose Mercury News. He's an outstanding journalist, no doubt about that. He's written for the Chronicle. I can go on and on. Bottom line is, we talked about his journalism resume. We'd be talking for 15 or 20 minutes. Anyway, he says, the situation reminds me of Donaire's 2011 bout against Omar Navarez at Madison Square Garden, the smaller arena there, in which Donaire, Nonito Donaire, chased this guy for 12 rounds. And the booing seemed to be aimed at both guys. Admittedly, Stevenson should have been more aggressive after a few rounds, but when you win 120-107 times 3 and barely get hit, your stock shouldn't go down. Okay, Colin Seymour has spoken. Shakur Stevenson's stock has not dropped, but the bottom line is, I sort of think it is. Pound for pound, Terrence Crawford, of course, on TV last night saying he's going to fight. He'll be announcing something real soon. Of course, a kid from Omaha, Nebraska, 37-0, 147-pound title holder. The other 147-pound title holder, Errol Spence, of course, taking on Manny Pacquiao. Is this a death match for Manny Pacquiao, or is this a fight in which Manny Pacquiao could just win hands down? Because, you know, Errol Spence, after getting flipped out of a car at 115 miles an hour, I don't care who you are. I saw the damage to his eye. I mean, you saw the blood inside his eye. So he had some bleeding inside the brain, that kind of good stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I just don't think he'll ever be 100% again. And not that he was all that great when he was 100%. I just don't think he was. I think it was the fact that, you know, he was tall and he was smooth and he was a left-hander. He could fight both left-handed and right-handed at certain times. So at the end of the day, I think he was schooling the opposition, but I don't think he was the prime welterweight that people make him out to be. He's not of the mold of, say, a Ray Leonard or a Tommy Hearns or anything like that. And I've heard people talk about that, try to compare those guys. You can't compare them. You just can't. I mean, Hearns could have been the greatest welterweight of all time had he fought the fight he should have fought. I'm talking about going after Ray Leonard with reckless abandon. He should have went after Ray like Ray had cheated on Tommy's wife, cheated with Tommy's wife. He should have been all after Ray, throwing punches from just hustling. Instead, he went out there and he tried to box Sugar Ray Leonard, the superior boxer, got out. I mean, superior boxer is Ray Leonard. So you out there and try to outbox him, much like Marvin Hagler did for the first four rounds. Of course, that first four or five rounds against that fight in 1987. Of course, Hagler would scream. Bill O'Neill, my house historian, still screams about it. Lou Filippo, the only judge, of course, that voted for Marvin Hagler. It was a split decision win for Sugar Ray Leonard at night, April 7th, I believe, 1987. But it was a split decision win. But Lou Filippo, the one judge that had it for Hagler, had it for Hagler 7-5. He sort of admits that Hagler gave away some early rounds, but he didn't give away Ray Leonard all the early rounds like I did. So that was the difference in the scoring. At the end of the day, it was a close fight, but without a doubt, Sugar Ray Leonard won hands down. So what I'm trying to tell you is that 27-0, of course, I'm talking about Errol Spence, which he's 31 years old now. Of course, Manny Pacquiao, 42 years old, 62-7, a couple of draws. He's been fighting since like Ronald Reagan was president, almost that long, 42 years old. I mean, 39 KOs, been stopped three times, of course, but former champion, 112 pounds, 122 pounds, 126 pounds, 130 pounds, 135 pounds, 140 pounds, 147 pounds, and I think they even gave him a belt at 154. What can I say? He's won all the belts you can. He is the most belted guy in the history of boxing, but does that mean at 42 he's lunch meat for Errol Spence? I don't think so. We'll see what happens as the future unfolds. But I'm telling you, Manny Pacquiao's going to put up a hell of a performance that night. In my books, in my mind, in the minds of many. You've been listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. This hour number one of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, we come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. For video, we come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio. And of course, come to you live each and every week, man. No doubt about that. SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio, and SiriusXM Satellite Radio, Channel 217. SiriusXM, Channel 217. Next hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide is forthcoming on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.